broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. This is Matt Sorensen, and today is a special day because we are actually together, Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Ooh,
that's right, live, together.
Yeah, baby. I can, like, see Mark's beautiful face. Yeah. Handsome.
Well, thank you. And it's a little awkward being cuddled up to this microphone together so intimately, but, you know, it's what we do for you, the listener. Yeah. We take it the extra level.
We'll get intimate if we have to. Well, we're excited for today's topic. And today, let me just say what we're going to talk about. We're going to kind of mix it up today. You know, this is a little different, coming at you from a few different angles today and how we usually approach the show. But we're going to be talking about the secret to the self-employed 401k today. That's the topic we'll be talking about in the second half of the show. And we'll be bringing on attorney Kevin Kennedy. He's an attorney in the Phoenix office of KQS Lawyers, been the expert for us on a lot of 401k strategies, solo 401ks, self-directing 401ks. So we're going to have him come on and bring out the secrets and why anyone who's self-employed needs to know about this critical retirement strategy.
Yeah, and we want to, again, welcome any new listeners to the Refresh Your Wealth Show. Maybe you've come upon this podcast by doing some simple searches through iTunes or your app that you're using to listen to podcasts, and we want to say welcome. And we're here about talking about tax and legal and small business and American dream, make it happen strategies. Both Matt and I are attorneys. I'm also an accountant. Matt is a specialist in IRA ERISA law for retirement accounts. Both writing books. Man, we're just trying to do it all. We're family guys, got the wife and kids, and trying to live our own little slice of the American dream. And we try to keep it real and fun. And want to thank all of you that are regular listeners. Please get over to refreshyourwealth.com for updates, regular newsletter. Sign up is there so you can get regular weekly tips. And just want to thank everybody for listening. But this topic, I love it. This is a good topic this week because it is tax season. Some of you may think tax season is in April, maybe right before October. That's accountants doing tax returns for last year. Now it's tax season for planning. And we've got to talk about this secret sauce of the 401k.
Yeah. You want to be thinking tax planning right now, end of the year. This is the time to do it. Most good tax strategies, if you want a tax saving, you have to do them within the tax year. Okay, you don't get to do this. It's not just like checking a specific box on April 15th that's going to save you taxes. No, it's what you're going to do in the actual tax year. So we'll be hitting one of those big ones today. Now, we're going to bypass our tax and legal tips in lieu of the big tax reform bill that came out of the Republican Congress. It's a House Ways and Means Committee bill. It's introduced. It's 492 pages, Mark?
Yeah, it's... I can't wait to cuddle up with this thing tonight. I am so excited. And so this is the big day. Today's kind of been a whirlwind for Matt and I. We're like, oh, let's look at this. We're looking over each other's shoulder. It's like Christmas around here.
And what'd you get? What'd you get out of this?
Seriously, I know that sounds nuts. We're geeks, but, you know, we do the dirty work for you guys. We're going to plow through this 469-page bill. There's an 82-page House Ways and Means Committee report that helps distill it down a little bit. That's still 82 pages. And we're diving into it for you guys. We're going to take one for the team. Mm-hmm. We're going to read this boring material, several rock stars and monsters later, and then give you the salient points. We're going to have some good articles in the newsletter next week. We'll probably be covering this as it unfolds over the next few weeks on the show. Stay tuned. Because it's not over, Matt. You're a political junkie. So tell us kind of what happens now.
Well, let me first say, reading this thing is like someone like, I mean, I'm reading this bill, it's like, did someone like write this in English, have it translated to Japanese, and then translate it back into English again? By the way, that's a John Travolta quote from A Civil Action.
That's true.
Who can read this? I can't even read this. It's like someone wrote it in English and translated it to Japanese and back in English again. I can't read this. Can you read this?
Oh, man, that's a great quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Civil Action is one of our must-watch shows in order to participate in the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. On our website, we're doing a little update right now. We're days away from releasing our website update for Refresh Your Wealth. It's going to rival Bigger Pockets. I mean, this Bigger Pockets has a great, we want to give them a shout out. We love those guys. You know, I'm just going to say it now.
Yeah, it's a good podcast.
The great podcast. We've, Matt and I have been guests on their show. They comment about us. We want to give them some love. They do a great job. Their website's great. Well, Refresh Your Wealth's website. It's around the corner here with a great update. And we will have on this the must-watch TV shows in order to get the most out of our podcast. And Civil Action is one of them. You got to be able to quote it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you were saying the bill is brutal.
Yeah. 469. So process, of course, is it's got to get passed in Congress, and then the president signs it, right? You know, so it's in Congress right now.
I mean, you can break down that little bill process a little.
Well, I'm just saying,
it's a bill on Capitol Hill.
It's not law yet, okay? But the one, well, I mean, for on all seriousness, President Trump is, you know, behind the bill. He's in favor of it. He will sign it if it gets passed. I mean, that's, you know, getting some common ground there, even amongst Republicans out in crazy land D.C., is unique. So we have that. We'll see if these things can get passed, but it's getting some positive feedback from Republicans who are in control, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and for those that are, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, I will give my best attempt at a bill traveling through Capitol Hill as that old cartoon. I'm old, so I remember those little cartoons on Saturday morning, a bill on Capitol Hill. That was a classic. School rock.
Mm-hmm.
The bill has got to now go into committee with the Senate, and they're going to beat it up. All the lobbyists are going to go nuts.
It's in the House right now. It's in House Ways and Means.
House Ways and Means. So this bill's got to come out of committee, then go to a joint committee. The senators have to vote and approve it. And then it goes to Donald Trump, and who will not be vetoing it. But he's, of course, going to be on Twitter daily, I'm sure, making his comments as this thing evolves. So it's got a ways to go. Their goal is to have it out by Christmas. Mm-hmm. So okay, so with that said, we want to mention a few things that you might want to know. If you have read an article on any of the major news channels, that's great for you. But if not, we want to be your source on tax and legal strategy. So, Matt, why don't we hit just a couple highlights from this massive bill that we're still digesting? Yeah. Do you want to mention a couple that you like?
Okay, here's the first thing. The federal deficit will increase by $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years.
There's our glass half full guy right there. Okay.
Now let's work backwards from that.
Okay.
Where
tax cuts cost money, people. If you want to save taxes, the money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah. So that means someone's paying less. That's a good thing, okay? So of course, you're hearing in the media about the corporate tax rate being reduced from the maximum rate of 35%, which is the current one, to 20% maximum corporate tax rate. But everybody, really, personal income brackets get adjusted and are going down. There's less personal tax brackets. No matter where you are on the personal tax brackets, your bracket is lower. You're going to have a lower rate no matter what income, low income, high income. You know, middle income.
Yeah, and there's still the maximum rate is still 39.6, but another way of saying it is the brackets come in at different thresholds.
Yeah.
And the brackets are simplified. So
for example, the maximum rate under the new plan, you'd hit 39.6 at $1 million of joint income, that's spouses. But under current law right now, you're hitting that at like 400 and something thousand.
Yeah.
So you know, you stay in the lower rates longer, I guess, under the new plan.
Yeah. And for now, a couple other little summary points. We'll just chat about this for a minute before we get to our topic of the hour. But it really is power packed for the middle income American. They've increased the standard deduction from 12,000 to 24,000 and repealed AMT and change these brackets. Those three things alone, everybody listening to the show, you're going to feel a little benefit. It's fair to say. Now, there's going to be some winners greater than others.
Yeah.
But
and one big motivation in the bill, you know, they've preached this simplification, you know. And the Republicans have been like, most Americans can do their tax return on a postcard, you know. That was like their, you know, what they say on the campaign trail. And in order to do that, what they're trying to do is limit the people who itemize on their individual tax return. So a lot of the business owners, you know, who are listening here, I mean, you know, you're paying tax at the individual rate, right? But what they're trying to do with a lot of your individual income is say, we're going to take away a number of the itemized exemptions, but we're going to double the standard deduction. We'd rather people just take the standard deduction, which is not as popular right now, you know, unless you're lower income or maybe you rent, you don't have a home. But if you're kind of middle income and you've got a home and maybe you give money to your church or, you know, you have some of these common itemized deductions, you may not do this anymore. You may not itemize. A lot of middle Americans now are kind of upper middle class are probably going to just take the standard deduction.
Yeah.
And it's doubled now. So it's $24,000 for a couple, the standard deduction.
Yeah. The art of strategy with your tax return is changing. And this is what Matt and I will be talking about over the next few weeks on the radio show. And let me give a plug right now. I've got to say it. For those that are still can fit it into their calendar, I've got three more stops on my fall tour. I do it every year. This is my seventh year. I'm going to be in Chicago next weekend on the 11th, and then I'll be in Honolulu the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I know it's a tough job, but someone's got to go, Matt. Do you want to go, or should I just – I'm going to just take it.
Yeah, I have Cleveland booked already, so.
Yeah, you go to Cleveland, I'll go to Honolulu. And no offense to your Clevelandites out there. And then – but here's the big one for all of you. December 2nd is when I'm in Orange County, but it's a live web broadcast. And the live broadcast is only $99, and you're with me for a day. You get a recording, and I'm going to be summarizing some key takeaway strategies from this bill. And as we get closer to December, we're going to have more clarity as to what this bill can do for you and what some year-end strategies might be. Mm-hmm. And so, guys, you gotta get involved a little bit, learn a little bit. I want you to know enough to hold your accountant accountable and say, hey, I want to strategize. And some of you that are TurboTaxers, you know, you're going to still want to know some general strategy here. So please get to markjkohler.com, www.markjkohler.com, and sign up for the December 2nd web broadcast, which you will get a recording of, even if you can't watch it live. And that I'm going to really break this down more then. But now, Matt, before, you know, a couple other thoughts. Anything else on this bill?
Well, one of the other ones, and this is where – you know, there needs to be more discussion and research and explanation from Congress, frankly, about is the pass-through tax. So for those of you that have S corporations, LLCs, you know, you're
even sole props.
Even sole props.
Yeah.
Is there's a new tax, a 25% maximum rate tax for that business income. Now, that sounds awesome, right?
Yeah, it sounds easy.
Yeah. But there's this calculation you have to make of 30% of your business income goes through this equation of whether you could account that as business income to get 25%, and what's your wage, what they have to attribute to that. It's a mess right now. It's clear that they did not think this through. But that's on the table, and that was part of Trump's tax plan too. Now we're starting to see some detail on it, and let me just say, it's ugly.
Yeah. And it's ugly in the sense that I know there's you purists out there that think, oh, I live in America. I should be able to file my own tax return. Well, I'm sorry. And that's what my career is built upon is helping people file a strategic tax return. That got a little more complicated. Now there's benefit to be had and I can save you taxes. And the S corporation is more powerful than ever before. So they're, Matt, they're working into my maniacal plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been preaching the S-Corp for 15, 20 years. And although many of you think I'm younger, we should go visit my site. But the thing is, the S-Corp is alive and well, and this strategy will only give us more options to save taxes. But it is a tricky equation. Mm-hmm. Matt and I were sitting here trying to, just trying to figure it out for a good half hour this morning, and still trying to get my head around it.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Yeah, it was not cool. I was like, not cool, Congress.
Yeah.
I'm like, just say 25%, period. And they got to go, you know, complicate things.
And then they say, if you're a lawyer, a consultant, an engineer, yeah.
An accountant.
You don't get the 25%, period.
Yes.
Too bad, too sad.
You get the regular rates.
And then I was like, where's doctors in this? And I've got to look at the fine print because they just gave examples in the Ways and Means Committee report. But how come doctors got a free pass on 25% and lawyers didn't?
What the crap? I got whoever's the lobbyist for doctors, I just want to shake their hand.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the whole healthcare reform has been a boon for the doctors, you know? Last hospital I go into, I was like, is this like the palace for the Saudi Arabian prince or something? Like, where am I? I'm in a hospital?
Ugh.
Jeez, that's where all that money's going. And they're also obviously crushing it on this. So,
some medical lobbyists are on it. So we'll see. But anyway, this is far from finished. Okay, now let me give another little – so there, we've got this 25% flow-through tax effect. We also have an increase in the 179 deduction. Now, for those out there that are seasoned business owners, you know what I'm saying. Let me put it in English. If you go buy a new – backhoe for your construction company, or a new tractor for your farm, or even a new SUV or truck for your real estate business, there's limits on how much you can write off in the first year. It's called a 179 deduction. You have to depreciate a good chunk, and there's so much you can depreciate, so much you can't. And I shouldn't have thrown out the truck example because an SUV or truck is kind of in its own little world. But the point is, if you're buying equipment, they have raise that cap dramatically. They're trying to increase, again, spending in the economy. Go out, business owners, invest in your business, and we'll give you a better tax write-off. So that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess finally, Matt, there's some benefits if you have children, some new child tax credits that go up. So they want everybody to get busy. Don't know if you can pull that
up. I guess so, yeah. I think they're like, well, we got to have – people need to have more kids. We got to pay for Social Security. Who's going to do that? The next generation.
Yeah. So.
That's how our system works.
Yeah. So we're still.
Oh, this one. This is a big one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here. It also has a repeal of the estate tax in 2024.
Yeah.
So the estate tax exemption right now is about $5.3 million. It's going to actually raise up to $10 million here, which, by the way, you could already do right now with some proper tax planning.
Yeah.
But an estate planning. But it's going to raise it automatically to $10 million exemption, so you don't pay any estate or death tax, you know, if your estate's below $10 million under this new plan. And eventually, the estate tax is going to go away entirely at 2024 under the plan.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. Not even 5% of Americans pay estate tax, but those 5%, they hate the estate tax. They hate it. And they write big checks to their Republican senators and congressmen. And that's all they're begging for is, I want to pass on my millions to my kids and grandkids, and I do not want to pay this 50% estate tax. They hate it. So there's kind of your one percenter perk for some the wealthy if you're pissed about that. But here's another one for your middle. I mentioned this earlier, but I will repeat it, is repeal of the AMT. That's the alternative minimum tax. And I know some of you out there are sick and tired of that. And that was a plan to affect about 5-point-something million people this year. And really, again, if you look at the numbers, that's 5% of America. It's just, again, some of this is going to benefit the wealthy. Some of it's going to benefit the middle class. Some are going to benefit the low income. It really is kind of a...
Yeah, it's a mixed bag.
It is. It's a mixed bag. Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, change can be good.
Yeah. So
was that Obama? No, change. What was the Obama campaign slogan? I don't remember.
Yeah.
That was so long ago.
Well, should we get into the 401k topic?
Yes.
Because now this is important. In the GOP bill, there was a lot of talk about the 401k getting Axed. Yeah. Neutered. That's a good way of saying it. Like, we're going to just snip a little bit off here. So, yeah, the 401k was on the chopping block at one point and got salvaged in the last minute. Mm-hmm. So the 401k is alive and well. It's a great small business strategy. That's what we're all about. Your individual tax return may simplify, sure. But if you're a business owner, you're doing the same darn tax planning. And that's why you're listening to this show. We want you buying real estate. We want you building a small business on the side. Don't quit your day job anytime soon, but build something on the side and we're here for you. It's going to save you money and build you wealth. So 401k is a huge part of that.
Yeah. Let's get at it.
All right. Well, I have the honor of introducing our expert that's going to join us here for maybe some just basic tips to kind of kick this topic really off. I think we all want to know what's really impacting the small business owner directly with this strategy. And so we got Kevin Kennedy, an Arizona State University alma mater, lawyer out of the Phoenix office of KKOS Lawyers, regular contributor to the show. We love him. He's doing a great job for many of our clients around the country, and we'd like to tap on him on the shoulder and have him come on the show on a regular basis. And why we wanted to call Kevin is, frankly, he's on the front lines. He's on the phone with clients every day, talking to them about their small business, and every week, if not daily, setting up 401k plans that are affordable and simple for the small business owner to manage. So who better yet, Matt, right? I mean, he's the man.
Yeah, Kevin's the guy that's done all the research for all the other lawyers, so we know how to answer everyone else's questions in the office on the solo case. So let's just go straight to the source.
Yeah, it's the little people, Matt.
All right.
It's the little people that make things happen. So, Kevin, welcome to the show.
You guys, yeah, it's glad to be one of the little people.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'd love to talk about the 401k. And this will wet your whistle, you guys. So there's really three, I think, wow factors that's exciting to talk to business owners about when I'm talking about the self-directed solo 401k.
I like it. Good things come in threes, they say. Yeah. So let's keep it simple. I love it. Well, why don't you, let's just get right to it. Wow us with number one.
Yeah, lay one on us.
So as any small business owner is dealing with, they're looking for tax write-offs. And, you know, if you have a regular IRA, you're pretty limited on the amount that you can contribute every year. You know, it's like $5,500. But with the self-directed solo 401k, they're able to contribute really sometimes as often as 10 times greater than that. So I think right now the rates were raised for 2018. I think it's as high as $55,000 per year that you can contribute to your 401k. So if you're a small business owner, end of your tax planning, you've had a good year, you're looking for some big write-offs. I mean, I don't think you're going to find a bigger write-off than that, potentially. So really the key, the number one factor is large, robust contributions that you can get with a 401k that you can't get with an IRA.
Yeah, so $5,500 for an IRA versus $54,000 with a 401k. I mean, that's a huge difference, obviously. And this is one of those write-offs for business owners that, guys, this is still your money. You're just putting it aside for retirement. It's not like you're spending this. I mean, we could all come up with business expenses to save on taxes, but this is, you're still keeping the money. You're just putting it in a different account.
Yeah, it's smart money, not dumb money. And I had a call with a client earlier this week that was like, I'm going to just go buy this and buy that. And can't I, you know, buy a new truck or a new piece of equipment? And I was like, hold it. Is that what you need? Is that a good business decision? And I know you're going to wow us more with one of the cool things that gives us access to this money. So I think this is good, Matt, that you bring it right off the bat, that this is a smart place to put money. You're going to have access to it. You're going to be able to invest it. You can maybe even borrow from it. Spoiler alert, we'll come to that. But the cool thing is it's a smart decision. And also I wanted to highlight, I like what you said, Kevin, that there's a lot of limitations, restrictions. When you're trying to put money in an IRA, you can phase out. You may not get the write-off you want. There's no phase outs.
Yeah.
With 401k. I mean, and you can double down if you're married.
Yeah. Spice. You 1%ers out there, this is for you too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do we have 1%ers that listen?
1% of our listeners.
Sorry, yeah. I thought most of our listeners were 99%ers. Yeah. So there we go. All right. Okay. So number one, great write-offs. that far exceed the IRA. It's smart money in the sense that we're not just throwing a dumb deduction on our return. It's money that we can access far earlier than retirement in interesting ways, which we'll come to. So, okay, that's number one. What do you got number two?
All right, so number two, we just talked about those large tax write-offs, which you put into this 401k account, but you can also roll over existing retirement accounts too. And the wow factor here, this second amazing benefit, is the fact that you can borrow from it. And you can't typically do that with your IRA. With the 401k, the money you put in, you just put it in as a tax write-off maybe a few months ago, or you just rolled over a large amount into your self-directed 401k. With some limitation, you can get the money right back out, borrow from it, and use it really for any purpose. So that's a huge benefit, and that's, to be honest, that's a big reason why a lot of clients are interested. They've got an existing retirement account, or they're going to be making these large, robust contributions, but they like the flexibility of being able to take some money out if they need it, pay off some other debt, use it in their business, whatever their needs are. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, and when you pull that money out, it's not a taxable distribution. You know, if you've like been maxing out your contributions in an IRA, whether it's just a traditional IRA or a SEP IRA, you want to access that money early because you need it. Distribution, you're paying taxes and an early withdrawal penalty. But with the solo K, there's a rule that says you can take half the balance of the 401k, not to exceed 50 grand. So if you got 200 grand, you can get out 50. If you got 40 grand in there, you can get out 20 because it's half the balance, not to exceed 50. So that's cool, but it's not taxable. It's not a distribution. There's no early withdrawal penalty. But as Kevin said, it's a loan. So you got to pay it back to your 401k. But I'm paying some interest on that back into my own 401k, which helps me grow it back. And I get that access to money. And I like this. I think a lot of people like this loan option because it can let you be aggressive on your contributions. If you're like, hey, I'm going to try and max out. I might be a little tight. But if I need to, I can take 50K out if I need to get a loan back out. But I can still try and max out my contributions and not stress that I'm going to have to pay penalties and taxes to get my own money back out.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting about it too is when, Matt, you just said you're paying interest back to your own 401K, continuing to build it, which is great. You're also able to take a tax write-off for that interest if the loan proceeds are used for a business purpose. So we can create a business deduction to pay money back to your 401k that's tax-free in a tax-free loan.
Yeah.
Do we have sound effects? That could be, yeah, like boom. Yeah. So that's, and I think this is kind of the thing that strikes fear in the hearts of insurance agents that are talking about infinite banking insurance and building insurance plans, that you can access the money if you need it through a loan and all that, which is great. I think insurance is an important part of your overall plan, but sometimes the young, inexperienced insurance agent, or the shyster, in my opinion, will oversell. And I'm going to call a spade a spade. I'm not going to hold back just to be politically correct. There are wonderful reasons for insurance and excellent insurance agents out there, but there are those few, and there's a few in every industry, but there's those few in the insurance industry that oversell insurance and say, don't do the 401k. You can't access it. You can't have it. So you better just do insurance. That's better. It's better. You know. And it's like, no. They're a yin and a yang. They're a part of the smorgasbord. They're part of the buffet. And I think this is – a lot of people don't realize how accessible the 401k is, if necessary.
They're part of the buffet.
Well, I'm just hungry. I'm looking for lunch right now.
I like your shyster insurance agent.
He's just, I was like, all over.
When you come to the buffet, it's all mashed potatoes. It's all life insurance.
That's right. It's all mashed potatoes.
Welcome to my buffet of, you know, planning to build wealth. It's all mashed potatoes.
It's all shrimp scampi, skewered shrimp.
Shrimp on the barbie.
Everything, yeah. So, yeah, we like the variety approach, so. Okay, Kevin, man, I love it. We're talking way too much. Should we let our guests talk more?
Yeah, let's hit the final number three.
Yeah,
we'll shut up.
Yeah, you guys ready for the main course?
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh man, boy.
There's a piece of meat on this bone. Yeah.
Boy, have the tables turned. All right.
So the last wow factor is the fact that you can self-direct this 401k. So basically, you're not limited to investing in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. you can invest in things that you know. You can invest in real estate if that's where your expertise lies. You can invest in startup companies. You can invest in Bitcoin. So it gives you a lot of flexibility that as an investor, as a small business owner, is so important for, you know, diversification and so forth. And also the fact that you're the trustee of this account, of this plan. It's a self-administered plan, so you have what's kind of sometimes known as the industry. You have checkbook control as soon as you set up this 401k. You've got that ability to make those investments. If we're talking real estate, you know, cut an earnest money check right out of your 401k account. So it's pretty exciting, to be honest. I love talking to small business owners about this.
Well, I love it, Kevin. That is kind of the last third major wow factor. I like it. In summary, great write-offs. Number two, the ability to access it in a loan immediately and roll into old IRA money. And then this number three, the self-directing factor. Now, for some of you that are new listeners, this self-directing concept, you're like, what? I can self-direct. I can buy any stock I want. Well, it's a bigger topic. Please get back to some of our other podcasts. Pick up a copy of my amazing co-host book, The SDRA Handbook, and start to get up to speed on what self-directing really means. But Kevin, that's an important tip. I love it. How you talk about that. Matt, what would you have? The guru of all self-directing.
No, thanks, Kevin. Of course, that was the entree, and it was very delicious, Kevin. So I like how you prepared that. I could use a little seasoning.
So. All right. Okay, this has gone way too far. Okay, back off.
But obviously, I think self-employed people, and that's why I like self-directing, particularly for self-employed persons, is they're already out there kind of running their own business, you know, making it happen for themselves. They're naturally attracted to self-directing.
Yeah, this is a part of their being.
Yeah, they're like, don't just make me buy a mutual fund. They like to go out and find the deal, make the investment, invest in stuff they know, whether it's real estate or private companies or startups or whatever. They don't want to be buckled down with a crappy mutual fund, you know? So that's what we're talking about here with the Solo K, being able to self-direct it, as Kevin said. And you're the trustee of that. You're signing off on that, making the decisions, having access to the bank account. And there's a lot to learn there. But as Mark said, there's prior shows. So. But there's even within those three wow factors, or I don't know.
Three major benefits.
Three courses, whatever the heck we're calling it.
Yeah.
Today. There's a lot of just subparts to that too. That like Mark, you said earlier too, rolling over other money. Like if you have an IRA somewhere else, you got an old employer 401k, you can move that over into this self-employed solo 401k that you can self-direct. And we're throwing all these little terms in here, but you can get access to all that other money you have. For example, if you want to take the loan, maybe you're starting a new business, maybe you've got some education expenses, you want to roll over some other existing IRA money you'd have to take a distribution from to get access to. Well, boom, set up the 401k if you're self-employed. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. Roll over that money and do the loan we just talked about.
Yep.
There's no distribution taxes or penalty to do that. Great way to access the money.
I love it. And well, Kevin, I know you've got to run. Big thank you. Thanks for finding a few minutes to join us today and kind of just set the table, because I like the fact that we've got the basics here of, you know, what an average consultation takes place and what Kevin's covering, Matt, because I know you and I have so much to talk about in this area. It gets to be just this huge cloud of information. And when we got a hold of Kevin this morning, he's like, hey, I got three things I hit. It's like a checklist for me. And we're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So, but I think, Matt, at this point, why don't we hit some of the nuances? Why don't we maybe finish up the show without Kevin and hit some of the things that you and I think are a little more unique and cool. Let me ask you, Matt, why don't you back up and tell us why it's called the solo 401k? Where the hell does this solo word come from?
It means one.
Okay. Fair enough.
And your 401k comes with a solo cup. Okay. Now this is a really important point, because this is a qualification rule. And this is kind of like, who can have this solo 401k? This is a very exclusive club of people. All right. Yeah. If you want to qualify for this solo 401k, you have to be self-employed. And we don't care if you're, and the IRS doesn't, this is what really matters, if you're like a sole prop, an LLC, an S corp, a C corp, it doesn't matter. You're self-employed with no other employees other than your spouse or other partners. Now, the Now, if you fall into that category, this is where you have got to be going down this path. When you're thinking retirement accounts, there is no better option than this solo K option.
Yeah. So, now, let me say, just don't stress for those of you that maybe have a couple of employees. I want to address that. There's an option for you. When we say the secret to the small self-employed 401k, whatever you want to say, there's a lot of secrets here, because this is Main Street versus Wall Street. Wall Street wants you to get in their machine, do their 401k plan. They don't really care about the solo entrepreneur. They just want to get you in these big plans that are very expensive. Now, there's an option for some of you out there that have employees. We'll come to that in just a couple minutes. But again, back to the solo point. I like, Matt, that you said a solo 401k is for the business owner and their spouse. Their
kid, and partners, if you got a partner.
And a partner that's an equity owner of the business. And all of you can play in this 401k that's self-controlled, self-managed. You control the checkbook. And it doesn't – and some have argued, Matt, that – you and I, as we're out there on blazing the trail in this area, say that we're giving a loaded gun to people. You know, it's like giving a loaded gun to a teenager, because you can screw up a 401k too. Why don't you talk about that? Like, I mean, with this comes with some responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, once you're in control and you got the keys, you know, so to speak, or the loaded gun, you got to know how to operate it. Yeah. Right. And so, so you want to get educated. You want to do some reading. I'm sorry. There's an assignment here. You know,
yeah.
You got to do the reading before you show up to class.
And we do shoot videos to make it a little more palatable.
Right.
We've got lots of videos and podcasts on this, but.
Exactly. So get some education so you understand how to operate it, and then make sure you're setting it up somewhere that's going to have some resources on how to operate it and make sure it's set up properly. Cause you do need an IRS pre-approved 401k. This is not something you're going to do on LegalZoom or, you know, find a template for online. You need an actual pre-approved IRS solo 401k plan, which we have, you know, and that's part of the special, which we've mentioned. So learn how to do it. You are going to be in control of this bank account. You will, you know, no one at Fidelity or Vanguard is going to say, you can't do that, or we can't send the money like this, or that doesn't meet the IRS rules. You know, it's going to be up to you to know that or seek out the professionals to help you get advice where you have questions and there's a little bit of learning curve. But for most of the clients, after they kind of get through the first year, you know, it's the same thing every year. It's the same questions that come up and the same thing you do every year. So it's not hard. It's just, you just got to learn it. It's kind of like learning a board game, I always say. You just got to read the rule book first before you try to play the game. Don't just start moving pieces around and thinking you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and this time of year, as we mentioned early on the show, this is when we have our little 401k special. And we try to make it affordable. We're there for you guys. This is why we do an open forum every month. Listen in to the open forum. I swear there's a 401k question every month on the open forum. Listen in. See what your fellow entrepreneurs around the country are asking, and you'll go, wow, I didn't even think to ask that. Mm-hmm. That's where that constant education and a podcast is so simple to listen to and so powerful. Now, for those of you that have employees, all is not lost. There is a type of 401k that's kind of between Main Street and Wall Street. It's somewhere in the Midwest. it's somewhere out there. No, it's called the Safe Harbor 401k. And it's kind of the safe harbor, and they call it that, in my opinion, because it's not the solo, but you don't have to go to the extreme with actuaries and these expensive 401k plans that 20 years ago was only what people had. But this safe harbor kind of evolved in the last 10 to 15 years as really this simple safe harbor, this spot you can pull your boat up to and have a little 401k, give a little pittance to your employees if they participate. Let's be honest. A lot of entrepreneurs out there don't want to – they want the write-off, but they don't want to have to be forced to throw thousands of dollars into an employee plan. Some of you, you're at the point where you want to retain your employees. But you do it affordably. This can be a great way to do it. So there's this safe harbor. So it's not going to be terribly expensive to maintain or terribly expensive on your pocketbook, because if your employees don't participate, it doesn't cost you anything. And you can have these cliff provisions where if they leave employment, anything you put in can come back to you and the company. There's all these little bells and whistles. So they're fun. We've got some great – we can help you with a multi-employee plan if you're in that situation. In fact, Kevin Kennedy, the guy that you just spoke to, heard on the show here. He's a great resource to get into that, and he can explain the cost and the things about it. But don't feel like all is lost.
Okay, no, Matt, I actually, I'm going to let you, the listeners, know. I was like, Matt, you got to tell some cool stories for the show today. Because understanding what the potential is with this is where a lot of the excitement for me comes. And we want to make this real, you know, like tangible. So,
yeah.
Okay, you got one for us? I want to hear a good story.
Yeah.
Work it.
All right. So I have this client who uses a solo 401k, and how he has used it, he started off with a rollover of a, you know, corporate 401k, place he'd worked at for 20, 30 years. And he built it up to, I think, around $600,000, $700,000. He was maxing out as much as he could, but just investing in the market, so to speak. So he retired, and this is maybe 10, 12 years ago. He was kind of one of the early adopters of this solo K strategy. And he immediately just decided, you know what? He kind of went into some self-employment. He said, I just want to grow this nest egg I've spent years building up, but I want to do it faster than I did with my, you know, buying mutual funds all these years. So he had an expertise in real estate and lending. So he started becoming a private money lender. He started with this $600,000, $700,000 nest egg. Now his solo 401k, which he converted at some point along the process to Roth, he had some personal tax losses that helped with this, is over $10 million.
What? Oh, slow down. Okay, what? $10 million?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And all he did was loans. But he got known as kind of the guy you go to when you need a short-term loan for a real estate deal. And whether it was flips or other things that were niches at the time, you know, he's charging his points and interest, and he just developed a good reputation. People knew that's where you could go to get money, and, you know, he just get good returns consistently, keep the money invested, and now he's at over a $10 million account by being able to invest in what he knows and getting self-control, self-direction, so he got control of the funds, and he's using this solo case strategy. And it really started from a rollover, not just making, you know, maxing out the $50,000 contributions a year, but he worked really from the pool of rollover funds. And there's other success stories of people just starting to contribute. You know, I got a lot of those clients too that are like, man, I don't have that much to really get started. I, you know, but an IRA, I can only put in $5,500 a year. I'm not going to be able to buy anything. Or I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to buy like 10 shares of Amazon. You know, I can't buy anything. So, but for them, it's like, oh, wait, I can put $55,000 a year in. So that's the 2018 number, or $54,000 for 2017. That's a lot of money I can sock away. And within a few years, I could really have a good little, you know, chunk of money to go out and invest and try to grow and do my own real estate deals or private investments, whatever it may be.
Yeah, Matt, that was a great story, and I love it. And I think that's what brings it alive for many of us. So cool. Now, gosh, there's so much to say here. I want to hit a couple other points, if I may. One is, let's get back to the contribution thing. Just because you can put in $53,000 doesn't mean you should. Now, let me give a reason why. When you do your 401k, now this is a little strategy here that might just be amazing for some of you to hear, and others it might be a little over your head, so be patient. But one of the things that is interesting is the 401k this year allows you to put $18,000 in. This is for the average individual, let's just say, under age 55. I can put in $18,000 and then up to 25% of whatever my salary is, or the net profit of my business. So that is, in net profit, we mean sole proprietorship situation, because we've got this new GOP bill we talked about earlier too, that's gonna turn a little bit of the planning up on its head here, and this is what we're good at. That's why you have a consultation and don't click around on Google to do this yourself. But the point is, you have this $18,000 contribution and 25% of your salary. Well, to get up to a $54,000 contribution, you could almost take a $150,000 salary. What the hell? I don't want to take a $150,000 salary. The FICA on that and the taxes on that are brutal. So there's a sweet spot. And I've said this for years, is that your salary, if legitimate, and we can hover your salary in a maybe a $60,000 range, we cut your self-employment tax down dramatically, mm-hmm. and you're able to put in, oh, maybe $35,000 in your 401k. But if you're married, we can double down with your spouse
and still get into a $60,000 or $70,000 contribution, but do it without as much FICA. That's the trick. Mm-hmm. And so this is where the year-end planning gets so busy for us. And we've said it before, is be patient as you call to get a consultation on this year-end planning, because we're just so busy trying to help people make this happen. This is where real planning's at. And
yeah,
it's exciting.
Yeah. And any of you people who have an S corporation, which is what a lot of self-employed people and those in for these solo K owners and the types of people we talked about, the solo K is the right retirement plan. And a lot, and for most of those people, the S corp is the right entity. So that maximizing that planning between the two, as Mark was talking about, with taking the right salary, then making the right retirement plan contribution off of that. There's kind of some, there's some art and science to that, I think, you know, and just in executing that properly to get the both, best of both worlds, which what I mean by that is put as much money away and pay as little tax as possible while doing it.
Yeah.
So.
No, it really does pay off. Now, did you have, I got one other one.
Okay.
Can I? Yeah. In fact, let me set the stage for you to comment on this, because do you know, believe it or not, there's people out there that want a 401k not to make contributions. They want to have the 401k in place to roll over that old IRA or old 401k from another job, but to get the money in there for maybe the loan proceeds, but it's also because of the type of self-directing they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be direct self-directing out of an IRA, there might be some tax minefield issues where the 401k could actually be better. Do you want to explain that?
Yes. Yes. So it's right up on the T. The no noise signs are up, and Mr. Sorensen is up to tee off.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I set it up. I put the tee in the grass with the ball ready to go. Don't blow this, is what we're saying.
All right. Okay. So if you're self-directing with an IRA, and this is there's nuance to this. There's a couple tax pitfalls when you self-direct with a retirement account. One of them is when you use an IRA and you leverage that IRA with debt. So I want to buy a piece of real estate for $100,000. I put $40,000 down from my IRA and I get a loan for $60,000. When the IRS looks at that, they're like, well, 60% of this deal is really a loan. That's not retirement plan money. So we're going to assess a tax on that investment. And a lot of people are like, well, wait a second. This is my IRA. How come I have to pay a tax? And I was like, well, you know.
You used debt.
Yeah, you used debt. It wasn't retirement plan money. So IRAs get hit with that tax. It's known as UDFI, Unrelated Debt Financed Income Tax. But solo 401ks have an exemption for this.
Woo!
So if I want to buy real estate and self-direct with my solo 401k, I can get a loan like that. It needs to be non-recourse. You want to look that up if you don't know what that I'm talking about. But if I get this non-recourse loan, I can buy the real estate with my solo 401k and I don't pay tax on the debt. I'm able to leverage the purchasing power without having to pay a little tax along the way. So that's a big perk for people who are self-directing, buying real estate, who are leveraging with debt. It's not everybody, but it's one of those kind of perks that are cool. Now, one other thing I wanted to say, Mark, and I think this is an important point. For a lot of people who set up solo Ks, a lot of our clients, they may have a 401k at a their day job at Dunder Mifflin. And they went to Toby, and Toby enrolled them in the Dunder Mifflin 401k. And,
there you go.
You know, and Kevin makes the contributions into it.
Man, I love it. All right.
But they're like, gosh, I just want to do more. And maybe they've got a pot of money somewhere else from a prior job or an IRA. And they have a side business. They got a business on the side. We can do a solo K in your side business.
You can have two 401ks, yes, people.
You can have two 401ks.
The day job and the side biz.
Exactly.
All right, hold on. Let me interject here. Let's go. I got one more point. I know we're running out of time. We appreciate all of you that listen. Your valuable time checking out this podcast every week. So let's get to cut to the chase with one more topic, if you're okay. And that's timing. I think timing is a big issue. The other day, my wife watched our little promo video for our 401k special, and she's like, oh, that's great, but when's the deadline? I'm like, I forgot that in the video. So let's talk timing here. The deadline, if you want a 401k this year, it's got to be signed, sealed, and delivered to the IRS by December 31st. Now, with that said, do not think that it is one sheet of paper and my paralegal is not going to wring your neck if you call her on December 30th. Do not make that part of your game plan. and don't mention my name if you call. So you found us in the Yellow Pages, you know.
Say Kevin told you.
Kevin told you to call. Okay, so that's why we do our special in November. Our special is this month to knock off a couple hundred bucks, make it efficient. It includes an attorney interview at the front, no charge, to kind of see if it's a good fit. If it's a good fit, we move forward immediately. We're not going to spend an hour on the phone for free deciding if this works for you. But in a good 10 to 20 minutes, we can tell you the pricing, see if it's a good fit. And if you say, make it happen, we can decide on a plan for your 401k or structure, and you'll love it. Every year, so many clients are grateful that they made this move. But get it done in November. You don't want to dink around and try to pull this off in December. Now, here's the important point, Matt. This is the exciting part, and I'll let you go through the deadlines here.
Yeah.
Is you got to have it set up by December 31st. But does that mean I even have to put in $10?
No. Okay, so now we're talking about, when we say set up by December 31st, we're talking about if you want to make 2017 contributions, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of people are calling us right now, is they're like, I want to save some taxes now, or I want to make contributions now on the money I made this year. Okay, so we're talking 2017 contributions. IRS requirement is have it set up by December 31st. Now, again, we're pushing you to try and get it done in November, and we got a special, because we don't want all of you coming to us on December 30th. So, but the nice thing is you have up until the tax return deadline plus extensions to actually make the contributions. This is the employee contributions and the employer contributions.
Now, and I want to interject, Matt, because we've even had internal debate between our accounting firm and law firm for years. Every year, a new accountant joins our firm, and they're like, that's not true. You've got to make the contribution by January 15th, and la, 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 la. That's if it's a employee-employer plan and you are the employer, you got to get money into someone's account. You can't dink around.
Right.
But when it's your own solo, who's the employee that's going to complain? You. So
or your spouse.
Yeah. And if your spouse is upset, you definitely want to contribute. But the point is, you're good to go. You've got until you file your tax return. But on the W-2, why don't you mention that?
By the way, good to go. Those are the best words you want to hear. You're good to go.
It's kind of a Disneyland thing. You're good to go.
Or it's like the thing they say at checkout when they're like, why are you still standing here? You're good to go.
Yeah, that's right.
So what are we talking about?
W-2.
Okay, yeah. So this is the planning.
This is the caveat, though.
Yeah. So you do have to get your W-2 done by January 31st,
mm-hmm.
but you don't actually have to put the money in. So if you're like, hey, I want to max it out and do my 18,000 employee contribution, or if you're over 50, you're going to add an extra six in, so you can do 24. So if you're like, I want to get my 18 grand in, you just need to get it on your W-2. You want to do some planning with your accountant, so it's on there. But then let's say you take a few months to get it in, or maybe even file an extension on your personal return, you're going to get more time to actually put it in. But you have to plan it. Now let's say you actually don't put in the 18, but it was on your W-2. Then you're going to have to go back and amend your W-2 back. So it just takes a little planning, you know, within January to think, how much am I going to put in? You don't actually have to put it in. Just do some planning so you can get your W-2 filed on time.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And all of you S-Corp owners out there, you know how important that is. And it can't, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, this S-Corp planning is going to a whole new level of importance and power and strategy with this GOP bill. Of course, we haven't seen the final version yet, but this is going to play into it. You know, what's your salary? What's your 401k? What's your W-2? What's your profit? Are you going to put your spouse on payroll? Say, oh man, I just love this stuff because there's so many moving parts. It can be really exciting. So timing wise, get a consult with your personal accountant, your tax attorney, whoever you work with. And if it's not our office, that's fine. Get with your planner. And if you don't have an advisor that can talk turkey on this, give us a buzz. We'd love to help you get this set up. It doesn't mean we have to do your tax return, but we at least can get some advice to you before you're in on the 401k and other strategies. We want to bring up our kind of, we have literally a top 10 type 11. We tried to do it at top 10 year-end strategies and it ended up being 11. And then we had 13. I mean, it just goes on and on. We have so many little tips we want to share with you. This is one of them. So get a consultation with your advisor and talk about it. So important.
Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for joining another amazing episode of the Fresh Wealth Podcast. Of course, if you like the show, please get on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. There's still the offer for a free copy of Mark's book, The Tax and Legal Playbook, or he's got his new book, You Can Begin Too.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a
Business
show.
Business Owner's Guide to Financial Freedom.
Yep, available November 15th, so okay. Just a couple weeks away. So I think next week's radio show, we got to do a little expose on the book. Yeah. In fact,
we'll have the author on.
Yeah, and please listen to that. I'm going to say it right now. I know some of you out there, you'll listen to the podcast that's got the title you're interested in. Don't forget, every week we do a tax and legal tip that's evergreen. You know, it may affect you, even though the topic of the day may not. So always listen in. We've got a lot of important things to help everybody, every show.
Yeah. Something for everyone. So, but again, thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week on Refresh Your Wealth. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.